there's also good news for our current president, because today the Labor Department reported that inflation dropped to zero. It is flat.
Yeah,
inflation up for the year, but flat from June to July.
Ah, yes, it's good to have all these propagandists in your corner, because late night TV is just Democrat Party propaganda hour across America. Stephen Colbert has no regard for what is true and what is correct. None whatsoever. But he is a faithful party member. That's a for sure. And no, I don't have a cut sheet, just in case you were wondering. Occasionally, the microphone is hot, as they say. Not to the touch. You may know. Let's dance, little David Bowie. So, wait a minute. What about the 30 million pages of Obama administration documents, records that the Obama White House had sent by truck to Chicago, promising to have them digitized? And the National Archives remains mum, silent, on the fact that they have received zero pages, digitized or otherwise, from Barack Obama, who skipped town with all of these sacred presidential documents that belong to the people of the United States of America, I'm telling you. Man, oh man. Mm-mm-mm. These guys. It's pretty appalling. The double standards we've been talking about for years. Got T-shirts and coffee mugs at the Chris Plant store that say, were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. One of my earliest phrases on radio, it's caught on more than most of my, but a lot of them have been poached and otherwise used across the board. I marvel at how corrupt this city is. It gets more and more corrupt all the time. The Democrats, you know, and the news media, they go find left-wing lawyers who say that they're legal scholars and constitutional scholars and presidential scholars and all this stuff. Trump boosted penalties for mishandling classified documents to spite Hillary Clinton. Oops. That's the headline from the radical left-wing anti-democratic Daily Kos. Is it Kos or Kos? It's the Daily Monkeypox is what it is. And they're very excited about this because they say, you know, Hillary Clinton, of course, destroyed 33,000 documents, including lots of classified documents having to the Sandy burglar of the Clinton administration. Of course, destroyed one-of-a-kind documents having to do with Al-Qaeda before the September 11th attacks by Al-Qaeda on the United States of America, which a Clinton administration official in the Justice Department is largely responsible for, you know, because she made sure that the CIA couldn't talk to the FBI and vice versa, because she was pure and, you know, she had to do the right thing. So they couldn't talk to each other. And the 9/11 Commission report, the investigation, found that had she and the Clinton Justice Department not built that wall between foreign intelligence and domestic intelligence, that we likely would have uncovered the plot and it never would have happened, and we never would have gone to war in Afghanistan or Iraq. It's got to be, that's a red-letter moment in her career, I guess. She's still a lawyer out there representing Democrats. That's a fact. But this story in the Daily Kos, Trump boosted penalties for mishandling classified docs despite Hillary Clinton. And now they're suggesting that he's mishandled classified documents. Here's the thing. The President of the United States has the ultimate authority to declassify documents or programs or anything that he'd like to declassify. The Business Insider has a story springing off of this other left-wing drivel. law Trump signed in 2018 may punish him over classified info. Everybody's an idiot, and they're all a bunch of, you know, panties and a wedge, little, you know, transgender people running around crashing into walls. Bradley P. Moss, Business Insider writes, a national security attorney, so he says, told the Insider that Trump could face 5 years in prison if he's found guilty under a national security bill that he signed as president. The president has ultimate declassification authority. The Secretary of State and the former Secretary of State, who's a presidential candidate, does not have declassification authority. Anybody? There's a great story about Lyndon Baines Johnson when he was president. And in 1964, the United States of America had already made the most incredible airplane in the history of the world. It's called the SR-71 Blackbird, the Skunk Works, Lockheed. If I were Elon Musk, I might see if I could buy an SR-71 just to fly it. Coolest. It's not only the coolest airplane ever, it might be the coolest thing ever built by men. American men, manly men, who were not suffering from gender dysphoria. But it was a very, very secret program, this Mach 3 surveillance aircraft. And it was called the RS-71 Blackbird, Reconnaissance and Strike, it was called. They got funding from Congress because they said it could do reconnaissance and it could strike. And it'd go Mach 3, at least. And it looked really cool, too. And if you were lucky enough to ever fly one, boy, really cool. I've met guys that did fly them. But in any event, 1964, Lyndon Johnson gave a speech at the State Department, and he decided he was going to declassify the existence of this very, very secret airplane, the RS-71, the Reconnaissance and Strike 71 from the Skunk Works Lockheed. And during the speech, he referenced the airplane three times, and he called it the SR-71, the SR-71, and the SR-71. And it turns out that, according to the lore and the way the story goes, that as the president, Lyndon Johnson, wrapped this up, who used all kinds of racial slurs all the time, as he wrapped up, he was walking away, and his chief of staff or somebody walking out of the room in the State Department with him said, that was a great, great speech, Mr. President, only one thing. Said it's not the SR-71, it's the RS-71. And Lyndon Johnson looked at him and smiled and said, not anymore, it's not. And the story goes that everybody had to change the name of the plane from the RS-71 to the SR-71 because Lyndon Johnson misspoke three times while giving a speech about what we now call the SR-71. He decided to declassify this top secret program, and he's the president of the United States, so he can do that. He apparently, allegedly misspoke and called it the SR-71 instead of the RS-71. And as he walked away, said, it's called the RS-71. Not anymore, it's not. And then everybody had to change the paperwork, you know, back to the Skunk Works and Lockheed and all that. And the military and the Air Force and the CIA had to change it. It was the RS-71. He misspoke. They changed it to the SR-71. That's the way the story goes. All right? And there have been people who said, oh, no, he didn't misspeak. The stenographer got it wrong. You know, LBJ library, yada, yada. But nevertheless, if President Trump has a box full of documents, he doesn't even have to look inside. He can just wave his hand over it and say, these are all declassified now. So if he brought boxes of things with him to Mar-a-Lago that were, quote, unquote, classified, you know, he's the ultimate declassification authority. So, you know, it goes like that. That's how that goes. It's the name of that tune. So Bradley Moss, National Security Advisor, says that Trump could get 5 years in prison if he's found guilty under a national security bill that he signed as president. Oh, they're saying, oh, isn't that ironic? Yeah, it's BS, but never mind that. Trump signed the bill, which made the changes to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, you know, like the FISA courts that J. Edgar Comey lied to and the CIA lied to, penitentiary face Brennan, using Hillary Clinton's opposition research and lying to them that it was legitimate intelligence gathered by our government when it was not. It was sleazy, slimeball, Washington lawyer, British spy Christopher Steele, fiction. And it was all proved to be fiction later on, but none of it's been verified at a bare minimum. So Trump signed the bill, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, into law in January of 2018. It upgraded the seriousness of wrongly moving classified material. Like, you know, Hillary Clinton with all her servers at home, and wasn't there one in Colorado, and then the, you know, bleach bit to destroy all the documents by the tens of thousands. That's all fine. No FBI raids there, right? Peeling her face out of the dried vomit on her kitchen floor. So turning it from a misdemeanor to a felony and increasing the maximum sentence to 5 years, up from 1 year in prison. Moss noted that it was passed after Trump's relentless attacks during the 2016 presidential campaign on Hillary Clinton, who was being investigated over whether she mishandled classified information. Now, if you read all the way to the bottom of this story, written by sleazebags, what you'll discover is that there's one little thing here. It's not at all clear whether this would actually apply to presidents or former presidents. I've got an answer for you. No, it doesn't. It doesn't apply to presidents and former presidents. All right, now, with that said, we do have some audio for you. Have we had any audio today at all? I think we've had precious little, if any, audio today. But there was a Congressman Michael Waltz on the television this morning. He's a Republican from Florida. He's a former U.S. Army officer who served in combat, and I think he's Green Beret also, a Special Forces guy. And now he's a Republican member of Congress because, you know, I mean, Democrats, honestly. And Michael Waltz this morning, he was on in the 5 a.m. hour, but I was watching it for you on the Fox News Channel, talking about this insane raid by a corrupt FBI, not on Barack Obama's offices in Chicago, with tens of millions of documents that he promised to return. And apparently the archivist at the National Archives has no interest in 30 million Barack Obama documents. Isn't that amazing? Well, Congressman Michael Waltz takes issue.
I've served all over the world, Africa, the Middle East, Afghanistan, where this is normal. This is actually what people expect, that the party in power will put in jail their predecessor and will go after him with the powers of the state. But the thing Americans hate is uneven justice. And I am hearing from people across the spectrum, even people who don't like President Trump, that know at their core that this is wrong. And what the Democrats and what the mainstream media just don't get and will never get is that things like this are actually making President Trump stronger.
Feeling strong now, and that is a fact. You know, they in first time around they tried to destroy him, the Democrats and the media. But I repeat myself. I think we have those things at the Chris Plant store too. We've got some quotes and things. We're working on expanding our online presence. That's going to happen soon. As a matter of fact, it's going to be bigger and better. But it does make him stronger. They tried to destroy him. The media put him out front, knowing that that was the best way to defeat the Republicans in the presidential election and hand victory to Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. It failed. It blew up in their faces, of course. But then they started a whole new phase of let's destroy Trump, right? And now, oh, we're going to put him in jail for 5 years. Well, it's not clear if this law actually applies to ex-presidents or to presidents who can declassify anything that they want. These people are sick. I mean, they're really sick in the head. And, you know, now they're killing monkeys because of monkeypox. All right, let's go back to Congressman Michael Waltz, who was on the television very early this morning. Documents. And what is, what is it the Democrats are really doing here?
Kevin McCarthy, to answer your question, Kevin McCarthy has told Merrick Garland to clear his schedule and preserve all documents. That is actually an official action from the Congress in terms of document preservation on who made this decision, how it came down, and what exactly the predicate is to take this outrageous action. And you bet your rear end we're going to get to the bottom of it. But you raise the point. We've got to win an election first. I don't expect a peep out of Nancy Pelosi on this. So come November, it's game on.
Game on. You know, I mean, honestly, everything does, because it's our system of government, revert to politics in the end. But it looks to me like there's a lot of criminal activity going on in Washington. I'm shocked to find there's gambling going on here. Congressman Waltz.
That's where countries in Africa, the Middle East, and elsewhere are. That's where it's normal, and now it's becoming normal here. So we have to clean house when we take charge. We have to do everything we can to make it clear to the Justice Department that this is absolutely unacceptable. And then to just sit behind a wall of silence and not at least explain. I mean, at the core of our republic is transparency. To not even explain what this is all about, or even attempt an explanation, I should say. Again, it's un-American, it's wrong, and we're not going to let this go.
Yeah, where's Merrick Garland? Is he protesting in front of Brett Kavanaugh's house with armed lunatics who want to murder three Supreme Court justices? You know, if you're a Democrat, you can do pretty much anything and get away with it. We've got a very corrupt city here that I'm sitting in right now. It's called Washington, D.C. It's tragic. Man, oh man. And I'm not done yet. There's more. We're at 888.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Bum, 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 bum. Ah, yes. Join the IRS. Carry a gun. Use lethal force against your neighbors. It's a man's life in the Internal Revenue Service. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Donna, calling from Clarksville, Maryland. Donna, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Well, hello.
Hey, Donna.
I have a question. I'm wondering, why are they arming the IRS agents? Shouldn't they just take a social worker with them?
You're absolutely right. Why didn't the IRS think of that? They should just get a negotiator to go in and talk them down off of their tax issue.
Yeah.
Oh, they might have to kill some of us. You know. You know why, Donna? We have to pay our fair share.
And you know, I divided up 89,000 by 51, so it's over 1,700 agents for every state in the District of Columbia.
1,700 per state. And if you do it by billionaire, because there are 600 or 700 billionaires in the United States, because they said only billionaires and the rich are going to be paying more. You know, let's round up and say 700 billionaires divided by 87,000 new agents. That's
incredible.
A lot.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. You know, they say in New York City, when people are shooting the place up, you should bring a social worker, right?
Exactly.
And Joe Biden says that the police shouldn't have armored vehicles because, you know, militarizing the neighborhoods, which he, as a representative of the federal government, has been doing for about 75 years. But pay no attention to what he said yesterday. It only matters what he says today. Right, you know, yesterday he said inflation was at zero. And then, you know, late night TV said it for him, too.
This is The Chris Plant Show.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You know, it's a liberal group. It's called ProPublica. ProPublica.org has a website. And in 2019, just a couple of years ago, things have not changed much with the IRS, although apparently things are about to change with the IRS. May come an invading army. 2019, they put together maps of the United States with little squares of counties, all the counties in the United States, showing where you're most likely to be audited by the IRS. And, you know, 60% of audits are inflicted upon people that make less than $75,000 a year. That will continue. All this stuff about billionaires is just a lie because they lie all the time. But ProPublica published this study analysis April 1st. It was not an April Fool's joke, however, 2019. Where in the U.S. are you most likely to be audited by the IRS? And they begin, Paul Keel and Hannah, Freskis, wrote, Humphreys County, Mississippi seems like an odd place for the IRS to go hunting for tax cheats. It's a rural county in the Mississippi Delta, known for its catfish farms, catfish, and more than a third of its mostly African-American residents live below the poverty line. But according to a new study, it's the most heavily audited county in America. And if you look at the map, it's truly amazing. The northeastern United States is barely audited at all. Illinois, barely audited at all. Michigan, Wisconsin, barely audited at all. What's going on with that? Nevada looks like barely a little bit of, you know, they got casinos and things. So there's a little bit of it in the Las Vegas area. In a baffling twist of logic, they wrote, the intense IRS focus on Humphreys County is actually because so many of its taxpayers are poor. More than half of the county's taxpayers claim the Earned Income Tax Credit, a program designed to help boost low-income workers out of poverty. As reported last year, the IRS audits EITC recipients at a higher rate than all but the richest Americans. In response to pressure from congressional Republicans to root out incorrect payments of the credit. See, that's the you know, the lefty spin from ProPublica here. But it turns out that they do go on to say that if your county is majority black, you're much more likely to be audited by the IRS. And it's not about being rich at all. The study estimates that Humphreys County, with a median annual household income of just $26,000, is audited at a rate that is 51% higher than Loudoun County, Virginia, where a lot of government officials live and members of Congress have their second homes here and things like that, which boasts a median income of $130,000 a year, the highest in the country. Because I think the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area has, eight of the 10 wealthiest counties in the United States of America surrounding Washington, D.C. Why do you think that is? Well, because trillions are falling off the table here because, well, corruption is the thing. And if you live in a predominantly African-American county, then you're more likely to live in a county that is audited more frequently by the IRS. Mm-mm-mm. The map reveals a wide variations in the audit rate from place to place, but also how certain groups of Americans are disproportionately affected by IRS policies. The five counties with the highest audit rates are all predominantly African American. Wow, isn't that amazing? How can that be? But I thought it was for billionaires and big corporations. And the five counties with the highest audit rates are all predominantly African American. They're also all rural counties in the Deep South. Mm-mm-mm. The audit rate is also very high, exceptionally high, in South Texas, largely Hispanic counties, and in counties with Native American reservations, such as South Dakota. Wow, isn't that amazing? primarily poor white counties, such as those in eastern Kentucky and Appalachia, also have elevated audit rates. Wow, gosh. The states with the lowest audit rates tend to be home to middle-income, largely white populations, places like New Hampshire, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. This is your IRS, and now 87,000 new agents are coming, thanks to the Democrats, you know, because their bill that was supposed to be about infrastructure, then it was supposed to be about inflation, fighting inflation. You spend money, print money to fight inflation. That is idiotic. Day one of Econ 101 puts that idiocy to rest. But never mind that. And then it was supposed to fight the climate, you know, because they're fighting the clouds in the sky now. They're fighting the temperature with your tax dollars. And, you know, they believe it. And the Washington Post, they got a big piece on that today on how they're doing a great job fighting the climate. Where is that? So I got that crazy story because that's absolutely insane. They say that you saw that Hunter Biden traveled with Joe Biden on Air Force One yesterday. Did he bring in crack? I assume he brings crack with him. Do they check for crack when you board Air Force One? I don't think so. An amazing story put out by the Daily Caller. They went down and spoke to illegal aliens arriving in Washington, D.C. by bus from Texas. Isn't it terrible? They're supposed to stay in Texas, where liberals never go. And they asked in Spanish, because they don't speak English, a bunch of the illegal aliens being shipped around the country, whether they were tricked into getting on the buses for D.C. and New York. And they all said, oh, no. No, we weren't tricked. We asked to come to New York and D.C. They said, hey, where would you like to go? We said New York and D.C. Okay, here's your bus ticket. Get on this bus. All this good stuff. Yes. Here it is. It's the Associated Press. The headline is, quote, we're back, baby. It's we're back, comma, baby, with great excitement. New bill boosts U.S. climate credibility. The fact we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars on the weather boosts our credibility, according to the once neutral Associated Press. And they bury in the piece way down here, of course, China and India aren't going to do anything, and they're the ones that are the biggest polluters, and they're going to keep polluting more and more as we go forward. But pay no attention to that, because that's okay. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is. Our credibility is bad. We have restored credibility because the left is spending hundreds of billions. And, you know, it's all going to supporters of the Democrat Party that make toxic car batteries that will destroy the planet and toxic solar panels that will destroy the planet. Full of all these rare earth minerals that the Chinese are mining and destroying islands in the Pacific to strip them of their various rare earth elements that they need to make batteries for our electric cars so we can feel like things are cleaner. All right, now let's go to Anthony Fauci. Because, you know, you remember Anthony Fauci? St. Anthony. We have a big votive candle right here on our desk with Anthony Fauci on it in swaddling clothes. And it's a religious candle. And Anthony Fauci he received an award that is normally reserved for baseball players. Dr. Anthony Fauci receives honorary award typically reserved for baseball players, is the Seattle Channel 5 headline. Fauci spoke to a group of about 100 Fred Hutch employees about his career and the direction of the COVID-19 pandemic in the upcoming fall and winter seasons. Now, you'll be shocked to learn that it's going to be bad. You should look out for that. So here's Anthony Fauci receiving an award for baseball players. And he says he makes jokes about COVID. And I guess it's like poor, poor, pitiful me stuff. People are mean to me. I made it in my kitchen. I made COVID-19 in my kitchen, he says. And the person giving him the award for baseball players laughs it up, thinks it's the funniest thing he's ever heard. And he makes meatballs and COVID.
We're at the epicenter of the initial outbreak. WA1, Washington 1, is considered the ancestral model strain. The center?
I developed the ancestral
Hilarious. I did.
That's right. You let it loose.
I was in my kitchen.
You let it loose. Yeah. Right. Okay. Gain of function. Here we come. Right. you're making arancia and Italian meatballs, and that's a gain of function.
All right. Of course, he was caught, his agency and the government, giving money to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which they used for gain of function. And then they changed the definition of gain of function. Remember that? And he lied under oath about it, too. But when you're a Democrat, you can lie under oath to Congress all the time. Just, you know, I mean, honestly, the generals spying on us and all this good stuff. So that's a good one. Good joke. So, yeah, President Biden's top medical advisor. He was in Seattle. Maybe the most liberal city in Western civilization today, to receive the honorary Hutch Award from the Fred Hutchison Cancer Research Center. Now, what that has to do with him, it has nothing to do with him, but it's a cult. And that's why we have a religious votive candle with Anthony Fauci on it. And then Anthony Fauci, he wasn't done yet, you know, making jokes. Now, more than a million American deaths have been attributed to the Wuhan Red Death out of Wuhan, China. We have our I Survived the Wuhan Red Death t-shirts and coffee mugs at the Chris Plant store, too, don't we? Yes, we do. And they're a lot of fun. I wear mine a lot, actually. I had and survived the Wuhan Red Death. But then Anthony Fauci went to the baseball field, since he's receiving an award for baseball players, to throw out the first pitch at the Yankees visiting at the Mariners game last night. And there's Anthony Fauci. What is he, 80 years old? I think he's 80 years old. Not a bad throw for, not a very young man. He's in good health. I see him walking around my neighborhood, power walking around with a security guy, power walking with him, a big, strong guy with a gun, security guy. Because, you know, Democrats, that's, you know, no guns for you. Here's Anthony Fauci at the, I have the story from the Washington Examiner. They have the video posted too. Watch, it says, Fauci booed before throwing first pitch at Mariners v. Yankees game. Keeping in mind, this is Seattle, you know, not somewhere in Texas, not a conservative place. It's one of the most left-wing places in the United States of America. And Anthony Fauci throwing out the first pitch.
Dr. Fauci will head up to the mound to deliver this evening's ceremonial first pitch.
Boo!
Mariners manager Scott Service.
You missed this, and you missed the pandemic, loser.
I think he's being heckled. And there it is. Welcome to Seattle, Anthony Fauci. And I love yucking it up, the big jokes. Boy, it's good to be a Democrat, isn't it? Because you just change the political affiliation on any of this, and it becomes really, really something. The Washington Post has a two-page story today, two full pages, largely of photographs, and they're sucking up to the Internal Revenue Service. And the headline is, why does the IRS need $80 billion? Just look at its cafeteria. That's the headline. And there's a picture of a room with files on tables. Now, everything's been shut down for a couple of years, you know. And the political cartoon today, the editorial cartoon, is a group of Trump supporters standing in front of a giant statue of Lady Liberty holding the scales of justice and the sword, wearing a blindfold. And it says rule of law on it. And the Trump crowd is yelling, lock her up. See, because now Hillary Clinton is justice itself, justice incarnate. And multiple stories attacking Republicans. The GOP picks Trump over the rule of law. See, that's what they're, that's the Washington Post. They're, you know, they're not a news organization. There is a breaking news story I want to share with you. There is... from Mediaite left wing. Breaking in all caps, colon. Gunman reportedly opens fire after making threats at FBI headquarters in Cincinnati. And the Washington Examiner, the headline is, FBI attacked, armed gunman tried to break into bureau building. Now, this doesn't say anything about shots fired, but I will learn everything I can about this in the next couple of minutes and share the details such as they are with you. This is exactly what, you know, the Democrats hope to provoke and incite. And if this is a, you know, a bad guy who is a Trump supporter, then this will be big news. You know, the assassin outside of Brett Kavanaugh's house is a blip. That's nothing. But I've got good stuff for you coming up on this. The details, such as they are at this early stage, okay? Shots fired, FBI office, Cincinnati. Maybe an IRS agent shot a student or something like that. You know that the best-selling Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier uses proven Oxy technology, which quickly destroys viruses, odors, mold, spores, all kinds of nastiness in the air. People all over this great nation of ours are raving about how well the Eden Pure Thunderstorm freshens the air in their homes. And in my home, in my living room right now, musty, mildewy smells just vanish after a few seconds with the thunderstorm being on. More than 265,000 units already sold. It works like a champ. Any odor is going to disappear when you use the thunderstorm. Litter boxes, trash cans, cigarette smoke, your mother-in-law's cooking. Even Michael Moore is no match for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, and no filters to buy and replace again and again. Right now, you can also save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack because you hang with me. This will give you whole home protection. You get three units for under $200. Some of these things cost $600 each, not the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Put one in your basement, your bedroom, any place you like clean, fresh air. And with this special offer, you're getting three units for under $200. Just go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in the discount code CHRIS3 to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code is CHRIS and the number 3. Shipping is free. All right, I'm collecting everything I can for you on this incident, which just occurred. And all the details that we have, you will have. So stay right there.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
FBI attacked, armed gunmen tried to break into bureau building in Cincinnati, Ohio. Ohio State Highway Patrol officers reportedly exchanged fire Thursday morning with a man who tried to break into an FBI building in Cincinnati, Ohio. Interstate 71 North was shut down after the suspect drove away from the scene and reportedly started firing at police from a cornfield. NBC 15 News reported. FBI negotiators have also arrived at the scene. FBI officials said the Cincinnati field office confirmed to WLWT that the situation began after the armed man showed up at the office and made potential threats. What's a potential threat? Suspect was described as a white male over a scanner traffic. Whenever they're white, they're always described as a... Yesterday, I told you about the black guys that beat up the gay couple. And they said he was wearing black pants, a black shirt, and had a Band-Aid on his face. That didn't mention race, because that would be racist. But he's a white male, so there you go. Blood spattered on his shorts, right thigh area. An officer in a police helicopter is overheard saying on the radio, part of windshield shot out. The details are very sketchy at this moment, but of course they're relating this directly to the raid on President Trump's home. And this is what the Washington Post and the others are pushing for, incidents like this.
our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.